There have been some changes in human rights, and as Vanessa said, with regards to tenancy rights, the changes aren't over yet. And the new human rights legislation that we have now will be proclaimed with regulations, and so we're in pretty much the same position as TRAC is in trying to guess what will happen. So I thought what I would lay out for you today is the current human rights system in British Columbia, where it came from and how it worked, and then what's going on now in this transition period, and then what we think is going to happen in the future. The British Columbia Human Rights Code that we have now was proclaimed in 1997. Many of you will remember that there was a big human rights review conducted by Professor Bill Black from UBC. And in 1992, when the NDP government was elected, very large lobbying took place from all over the province, which many of you probably participated in, to implement the Black Report. The good news and the bad news from those times is that the Black Report was partly implemented in that it took the old Human Rights Council, which did everything with a human rights complaint, including intake, investigation, adjudication, the works. It did everything and divided that whole human rights system into two statutory agencies, the BC Human Rights Commission and the BC Human Rights Tribunal. The purpose of the commission with regards to enforcing our human rights was to do intake, which was simply to ask the question, do you see adverse differential treatment? Is it happening in the public arena? And is it happening because that individual or group of individuals are in a protected group? So that was the intake process. It moved then to an investigation of a human rights complaint, at the end of which there would be a referral to the Human Rights Tribunal or it would be dismissed. The problem with the implementation of the Black Report was that the only thing that was implemented were those structural changes. Although sexual orientation was introduced as a new right in BC, which we all very much wanted, the unevenness of the human rights legislation, which came from the old SOCRED days when they struck the entire act and we had to litigate it back, made for very uneven legislation, which remains today. Just a couple of examples. We're the only jurisdiction in Canada which limits age protection to between the ages of 19 and 65. Although we have family status and age protection in tenancy, we do not have it in purchase of property. It's just not there, and that's why strata councils can discriminate against families with children. So we have very bad structural legislation, but the part of the Black Report that was implemented was the creation of the commission and the tribunal. The commission was unique to Canada in that it created three commissioners: a commissioner of investigation and mediation who was responsible for investigating human rights complaints, and the deputy chief commissioner who was able, through the statute, to intervene in a human rights complaint either by adding himself, and I say that because it was a he for the duration, by adding himself to an individual complaint, or he had the authority to file a complaint of systemic discrimination without a complainant. This was revolutionary at the time. Unfortunately, he never, ever filed a systemic complaint. So the advantage of that role wasn't ever fulfilled. CEO, the chief commissioner, was responsible for education and information programs. So that's how the commission has been structured from 1997 till today. The code is still structured that way, but as you notice, bits and pieces of this structure are being broken away. Right after this government was elected, they fired the chief commissioner. Right after Bill 53 came down, they fired the deputy chief commissioner, and the commissioner of investigation and mediation had quit in frustration even before the election. So the structure is quite wobbly right now, but we still have the same code. I guess there were a lot of things wrong with the existing system, but there was one fundamental thing wrong, which wasn't really anybody's fault. It was a problem of the statute. And that was that the heart and soul of human rights enforcement in this country through human rights commissions consists of investigating human rights complaints. Human rights and rectifying discrimination, the way that we do it is by taking a remedial approach. We say, okay, you didn't get the job because of the color of your skin. What should we do to fix it? We should move very quickly to get you the job because that is your right, the logical remedy of human rights. Investigating a human rights complaint for 3 or 4 years did not lend itself to that. And by the time you got to the remedy part of the complaint, you had a big problem. The relationship had been severed for 3.5 years already. There wasn't a chance of getting the job or the service or the promotion or the house. And all you could get was some kind of damage award for pain and suffering. So for some time now, people in the human rights arena have recommended that a more appropriate system be put in place to enable relationships that are that go asunder, I guess, because of discrimination, be put together while there's still a relationship to put together. So the investigation system didn't work, and it causes backups, and we're now in a situation where there are 400 human rights complaints backed up at the Human Rights Commission, and the whole system is virtually falling apart. In conjunction with this, of course, this government, through its administrative justice project and its human rights review, started to look at the mechanisms by which we solve human rights disputes, but they were also participating in core reviews of that measured efficiency and costs and so on and so forth. Up until the core review of the Human Rights Commission, the way it worked was if you got through that commission process, sometimes it was 4 years later, and were referred to a tribunal, you are eligible for legal assistance through the legal aid tariff. And that tariff was paid for by the BC Human Rights Commission. They gave the money to Legal Services Society to administer to the private bar. That did a whole bunch of things. First of all, it was your usual wonderful $80 an hour. If you were a private bar lawyer, you got 6 hours paid to settle the complaint, and that was all. 4 hours to prepare for a hearing, and the only real money you got was for actually doing a hearing. The consequence of that is human rights have the longest hearings in the history of hearings. And Aline, they tell you, I mean, we have 26-day tribunal hearings on a he said, she said sexual harassment case. It is outrageous. So in the core review, the Human Rights Commission was cut by 30%, and in its wisdom, what it chose to do was to cut the money it gave to LSS to provide people with legal aid. So what you saw happening last February, was it February, Terry, was that people got referred to a tribunal and started receiving their documents from the commission and wandering towards the tribunal unrepresented. Heather McNaughton, the chair of the tribunal, took one look at that and said, yikes, this cannot happen. We cannot have unrepresented people before the Human Rights Tribunal. What are we going to do? And at that point, the Ministry of the Attorney General approached our coalition, who already did represent people before the commission. up until a complaint was referred to tribunal. We handled about 300 files a year of the commission's 500 at that point in time. So they came to us and they came to class and they said, would you guys be interested in signing a contract with us to make sure that all of these people referred to the tribunal, for whom there now no longer is a private bar lawyer under the tariff, would you agree to represent these people? And that's what we did, and that is all we're doing right now in our partnership. So now when a complaint is referred to a tribunal, and we've got 400 of them in there already, but the system is continuing with new complaints being filed. When that complaint is referred to a tribunal, they come to our coalition after getting an authorization from the complainant. We attempt to mediate or settle the complaint. If we can't do that, the file goes to class and they litigate it. Okay? So that's what we're doing now. For those of you who have been reading some rather unfortunate propaganda, we do not do the work of the BC Human Rights Commission. We do not do the contracted out work of their union. We simply do, we take care of those complaints when the commission is finished with them. Now, Bill 64, our new Human Rights Code Amendment Act, is the product of looking at the government's flagship legislation, which was Bill 53, feeling suicidal, yelling a lot, and telling the government they could not possibly do this. Bill 53 called for the dismantling of the commission, a setting up of the Direct Access Tribunal, and not in the legislation, but rather in the press releases of the ministry, that there would be a clinic set up in human rights which would represent people before that tribunal and which would also do education and training under the code, I think it said. But we're nowhere under the code, not now and probably not in the future. The really awful part about Bill 53, and I want to make sure you understand that most of this is gone, is that it allowed for compulsory mediation, whether the complainant was into it or not. It stated that a complainant could have costs awarded against him or her just for losing the complaint. What else? It reduced the time you could file a human rights complaint from 12 months to 6 months, and said that if you wanted that 6 months extended, you had to prove that it was in a public interest. We're still trying to figure that one out. Anyway, we're happy to say that most of the really draconian provisions of Bill 53 are no longer in Bill 64, with the single exception of the fact that you will now have to file a complaint within 6 months, and if you're late, you will have to show that it's in the public interest to continue. And when we figure out what that means, we'll tell you. So Bill 64 has gone through third reading. It will be proclaimed early in the new year by regulation. We don't know what's going to be in the regulations, but the Human Rights Commission will technically stay in existence, and the new Direct Access Tribunal will not evolve till April of 2002. And the reason I can tell you this is that our clinic will now extend its contract to do what it's doing now until March 31st, and all commission staff have now been laid off. They've been given working notice till March 31st. That tells us that the new system will go in place April 1, 2003. Now, there are some good things about this contract that we've made, and I'll let Aline talk about the litigation good things. But what I do at the Human Rights Coalition is education and training and consultation. And I have been given a lot of money to go all over the province to train people who are lay advocates in any area whatsoever, human resources people in respondents, to not only understand the new legislation, but to be able to represent people in your jurisdiction who have human rights complaints. What we're hoping, and we have been working somewhat with the tribunal, that the Direct Access Tribunal will be user-friendly. You'll be able to file a complaint on the web. It will focus, when the complaint comes in, there'll be an immediate determination, does it constitute a human rights complaint? If it does, mediation efforts will be made. If the respondent, and this is why human rights complaints fail, if the respondent drags their feet in mediation, fails to disclose or anything else we need to make a determination, the tribunal will be empowered to do an expedited hearing, to force disclosure of documents, and even to force, even to make a decision about the remedy in the case. We're hoping that that process will make human rights complaints quick enough and fair enough that they'll be able to get a remedy for discrimination when the remedy really means something. Only if that expedited system doesn't work will you see the old formal tribunal situation going on. So what I've been funded to do, and Terry too, through her communications part, is to assist in every region of the province in any way we can, helping people not only understand the legislation, but actually access the tribunal.